Community and Regional Affairs Committee. It is now 1:35 p.m., February 15th, 2006. Let the record reflect that the chairman, Senator Stedman, is here, and that is the entire attendance of the committee. Today, we're not going to hear Senate Bill 248 on the administrative boroughs. There's a fellow that needs to testify on that that's out of town. So we're going to bring that back probably next week. We're going to, as can be seen by the roll today, we're not going to be taking any action, but we're going to have a hearing on Senate Bill 193, the deferral of municipal property taxes. It has a CS, and then, excuse me, that's in reverse order. First, we're going to have Senate Bill 265, Municipal Bond Bank. Those will be the two bills, and then we'll have an amended schedule for next week posted here shortly. So with that, I would like the Municipal Bond Bank bill presented, Senate Bill 265. Mr. Miles Baker from the staff of Senator Stedman will present the bill, and then we'll have a presentation from Devin Mitchell from Treasury, who will enlighten us on all the details. Mr. Baker, please identify yourself and tell us what we're doing here today.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Miles Baker, staff of Senator Stedman, and I'm here today to present Senate Bill 265, and I'm also joined by Devin Mitchell, who's the Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, and also serves as the State Debt Manager and Investment Officer in the Treasury Division for Department of Revenue. Senate Bill 265 seeks to increase the bond authority of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank from its current statutory cap of $500 million up to $750 million. The last time the bank's bonding authority was increased was in 2003, when it was increased from $300 million to $500 million. And just if I could, Mr. Chair, for the benefit of those who aren't as familiar with the bond bank, just give you a little bit of what they are and how it works. The job of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank is to help municipalities. Since its inception in 1975, the bank has helped Alaskan communities secure over $800 million in financing for public works projects. Over that time, the bank has returned $26 million in excess earnings to the state in the form of dividends. During the past fiscal year of 05 alone, the authority issued $123 million in bonds. Those bonds from last year funded $119 million in 20 different loans to 16 communities around the state. And they financed things like school construction in Kodiak, Petersburg, Sitka, Ketchikan, harbor improvements in Adak, a hospital in Juneau, street improvements in North Pole. So basically all your typical public works type projects. In addition to doing that, this year, based on that, those bond issuances in FY06, the bond bank should be returning $652,000 to the state's general fund. How does this work? Basically, most small communities have a low bond rating, or because they've never borrowed money or have little outstanding debt, there really is no market for their debt. I mean, they are not familiar to the bond market. And even large communities, even though they may have the ability to go out and issue bonds, they may not, their financing needs may not be big enough that they can get the kind of rates that the bond bank can give, can get. There it is. So what the bond bank does is help these communities by pooling bond issues, creating economies of scale and leveraging the borrowing power and the credit of creditworthiness of the state of Alaska. And because the state has pledged its obligations, moral obligation, to maintaining the debt service, they're able to get a higher credit rating and lower borrowing costs for the participants. A couple other quick things. The bond bank is efficient and pays its own way. The reserve accounts that it maintains to secure the bonds not only also generate investment income, and those incomes pay the bank's operating costs, and the excess earnings are what is paid back to the state in the form of dividend. In conclusion, I guess I would just say the purpose of this bill is that as of this month, the bond bank has about $450 million in bonds outstanding, leaving just $50 million available for additional loans, and the bank has about $80 million in pending applications. So without this increase that Senate Bill 265 contemplates, we wouldn't be able to continue and support those municipalities. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll either turn it over to Devin for specific questions or.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. We'll go on to the next participant, and then I'll ask some questions.
I'm Devin Mitchell. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank, as well as the debt manager for the state of Alaska and the Department of Revenue. First of all, thanks very much, Mr. Chairman, for introducing the legislation authorizing the increase in the borrowing cap of the bond bank authority. As Miles pointed out, there is a shortfall that's looming before the authority in the coming year that would result in a loss of ability to finance capital projects at the community level in the state of Alaska effectively. I don't really have specific prepared comments. I'll just give you a couple of points that I might emphasize. First would be that over the last five-year period, the bond bank has experienced a period of heightened borrowing, and some of that is due to state reimbursement programs, the school debt reimbursement program, and another harbor power project, schools catch-all reimbursement program. In both cases, it's not only the communities that benefit from efficient borrowing, it's also the state of Alaska. And so in that same five-year period, the bond bank has issued close to $400 million in bonds, and as a result of participating in those transactions, saved an estimated $6 million. And so a huge benefit and a significant portion of that benefit comes to the state of Alaska in reduced reimbursements to local communities. In addition, pointing out the efficiency of the program, I am the sole staff to the bond bank authority, and I have another full-time job. So it doesn't really get much more efficient than that. Our budget is based on about $250,000 in ongoing operating expenses related to maintaining the outstanding portfolio, and the balance of about $500,000 is used for purposes related to issuing bonds. And so if there are no bond issues in a particular year, you would see our operating budget reduced by two-thirds. So it really is a streamlined operation and based on activity. And I used this term the other day in explaining it to Miles, that it is, in its truest sense, the best form of good government that you can see, in as much as there's efficiency, it provides a critical governmental service, it saves money, and it is streamlined. Otherwise, I just would like to provide myself for any questions you might have, and again, thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, I've got several, and thank you for your testimony, but looking through your report, just it'd be nice to just have the record reflect that there's communities on here that have been serviced by the municipal bond bank And some of them are examples like Wasilla, Aleutian East Borough, Homer and Cordova, Fairbanks, Lake Penn Port, the Nome School, the Northwest Arctic Borough, the Lake and Penn Borough, Seward. And we can go down the list, and there's a sampling, Valdez, ADAC. There's just a sampling clear across the state, and from medium to small. And with that being said, I'd like you to talk a little bit about refinancing, and if you've had a refinancing wave the last several years in these bonds, and or do you expect any significant refinancing going forward, and will that change your bonding ability?
Mr. Chairman, there has been fairly significant refinancing or refunding in the bond terminology going on over the last several years with the extremely low interest rate environment in the short end of the curve, and then the flattening of the yield curve more recently, and the long end of the yield curve coming down as the short end of the yield curve went up. We had two transactions in fiscal year 2005 that involved refunding components, and those refunding components don't really impact our debt cap, because when we refund bonds, you are replacing one outstanding obligation with another, and that's got a lower interest rate associated with it. And so we don't carry both against our debt limit at the same time, and there isn't a requirement for refunding bonds you seek additional authorization. One point that I might add based on your comment was that while we do serve the medium and small communities of the state of Alaska, we also serve the largest community in the state of Alaska. It doesn't reflect in this report as it's in FY06, but the municipality of Anchorage issued, actually, maybe I'm misspeaking. It was an FY05, I'm sorry.
04, the 5.3 million?
For the, yes, the Performing Arts Center, which the municipality of Anchorage is the most creditworthy community in the state of Alaska. They're rated AA- by the rating agencies in the low AA category, and yet they wanted to undertake an improvement for a leaking roof on the Performing Arts Center, and they wanted to pay for that through a ticket surcharge, so the users of the Performing Arts Center would pay for the cost of that new roof. That in and of itself is a very weak credit. A surcharge on a very discretionary activity like performing arts is going to be, from a rating agency perspective, viewed fairly negatively. So by going through the bond bank, it provides a vehicle for them to undertake that project, use the revenues derived from the project to support it without providing, for example, a property tax back or having a general obligation back to pay for the project, and so they can match up their project and still get it done in an efficient manner. So there are ways that we service the larger communities as well.
So when you move the bonding authority from 500 to 750, and acting as a conduit for these smaller to mid-sized communities, and you expect no impact on the state's borrowing and or credit rating. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. And the reason is, while this is moral obligation debt of the state of Alaska, which means by statute there's a reserve fund that's created which secures the bonds, which is basically equal to 1 year's debt service. If there were a default, there would be a draw upon that reserve to pay debt service in the short term, and there's a requirement in statute that a request be made of the legislature to replenish that reserve, and that creates a moral obligation that the legislature would act and in fact replenish that reserve. And while that does have the potential for credit implications, in the bond bank instance, we have the underlying communities committing to pay these projects, and so there actually is a separate and distinct funding source from the state of Alaska. And with the provisions that are in place in the program, there's not been any correlation from this program to the state of Alaska, which you might see, you might hear suggested in other contexts with moral obligation debt, whether it was from a certain size, if you were talking about billions of dollars on a moral obligation basis, or if you were talking about not having the underlying strengths that we have in a program like this.
So looking at your report here, there's as of end of fiscal year, as of June 30th, 05, there's about a little over $11 million in the reserve, the statutory reserve account. That's what you're referring to?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. And that's just, actually, that's a couple of different pieces. I believe about $7 million up above on the upper part of that page is the reserve portion that's in the general obligation program. And then the other 1.5 was specific to one revenue bond issue. That 9.7 is combined with bond bank cash. The 76 resolution requires that at least two-thirds of the reserve be comprised of bond bank assets, bond bank cash. And so it's actually about $30 million that's in that reserve. And the strength that that creates from a credit perspective is you look at our borrower base, and there's really just one borrower that could break the reserve because of all of the borrowers. If you're a $5 million borrower, all of you have $30 million pledged towards your obligation on a parity basis with all of the other obligations. And so the $5 million can be paid off by the reserve.
Right. So you've got a little over $300 million in GO bonds or general obligation, and you've got rounded off to $95 million in revenue bonds.
That's correct. At that okay. point in time. Since then, we've had some additional yeah. issues.
Well, with that, I'd like to go ahead and open up the public testimony, unless you have other comments you'd like to make.
No,
probably more than you anticipated you'd be making. Do we have anybody that would like to testify? Come forward now or forever hold your peace until next week. Please identify yourself for the record. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Kathy Wasserman, Deputy Director of the Alaska Municipal League. The Municipal League would like to go on record as being totally in favor of this bill. We think that anything that helps communities accomplish their goals is certainly worthwhile. It's a win-win situation for the state, for the communities, and for the residents of both. It also requires responsibility by the communities to pay back their debts, and yet it allows them to add needed infrastructure, especially in these days of rising costs with fuel and whatever else. So we're totally in favor of this bill.
Okay. Thank you. Any other folks in the audience? Do we have no one online? Okay. Well, with that, I'd like to go ahead and end the public hearing portion of Senate Bill 265, and we will not be taking action on this bill, and we'll go briefly at ease.